Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Successful media and public affairs consultant, accomplished entrepreneur and national writer and contributor, attorney who served in the Missouri House of Representatives, worked in the White House and CNN, thought leader, entrepreneur, and host who takes the conversation to the next level.
Prepare to get rare access to fascinating guests.
You're connected. You have the it factor. You've joined
Grill Nation.
Everybody over there!
Get a hooter!
Everybody out there!
Do it.
Connect with Jason on Twitter at Jason Grill. Connect with the show on Twitter at Grill Nation Show and online at grillnationshow.com.
Welcome your host of Grill Nation, always dressed up and ready to go even in a radio studio. Here's Jason Grill.
Hello and welcome to the Grill Nation Show on 980 AM KMBZ Radio, as well as on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. And appreciate you joining me as well today. If you have located us on our website, it's grillnationshow.com. Appreciate you always joining us each and every week. Hope you've enjoyed our shows. We enter show 131 now of the Grill Nation Show. We've interviewed a lot of people and had a lot of great people on board throughout the journey. So appreciate you joining us again this week. Before we get to our show, I want to thank our partners and supporters. We're going to have a fun show today. I think it's going to be unique, innovative, and something we don't typically do. We usually showcase guests, but I'm going to showcase some things that can help you out today in your daily lives. I want to thank our partners and supporters of the Grill Nation Show. Title sponsors of the show are Truss, MoBank, BOK Financial, and 2West Advisors and Ryan Rink. Guest hosts and contributors and on-air guest hosts to Grill Nation are The Rieger and Jay Rieger & Co. Ryan Mabey's a bi-monthly guest host. One Light Luxury Apartments. And today's guest host, a monthly guest host, partner and supporter of the show, on-air contributor, is Clifton Alexander from Reactor Design Studios. Clifton, welcome to the show.
What's up, Jason? How's it going?
Good to see you again. You got your orange puffy jacket today.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's the best thing about winter is I get to wear my orange puffy coat.
Okay.
that's about it.
You know, the first few days of fall and winter, you get a little chill in the air and you're like, oh cool, I get to wear a puffy vest or whatever. I never do that anymore. Yeah. That's really one of the only positives about
when
it gets cold.
For me, that's about it. Is I don't like the cold, but I like my puffy coat.
That's true. You do like your orange too.
Yep.
So, Clifton, how you been, man?
Let's first off say
Reactor Design Studios, reactorkc.com, branding, website, marketing, everything you need all in one. They're a creative group out of Kansas City and the Crossroads. They do work across the country and here in Kansas City. So you guys have been working hard, I'd assume?
Always.
Always, yeah.
Always. We're launching some new projects right now and all over the place. One is local to Kansas City, a developer that we're working with. We're getting ready to update their brand and their brand voice and doing some other cool things with them. We're launching a new project with our friends in the Bronx, New York, our school partners that we have there, working on helping them attract better talent to their teacher fairs and get them to it's a really interesting problem to have, right? When you're a school, you hire a lot of teachers, but attracting the best talent to your schools in the Bronx or in certain parts of New York is difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're working with them to help solve that problem and to help them attract some really, really neat people. So really great, incredible schools, but locations and other things affect that. And so we're working with them to help figure that out. So
awesome.
Interesting, awesome. Interesting problem, interesting solutions, hopefully. And so that's kind of some of the new cool things, interesting things we're working on. But otherwise just working away.
And everyone's happy at the business, I'd assume.
I think so. Yeah. Like, we're just getting to enter into the holiday season. We're going to be closed between Christmas and New Year's like usual. It's an extra 5 days or so off for everybody.
The question I work with a lot of people at different groups and they get a lot of time off around the holidays because they they don't do anything anyways. They're not as productive, so that they feel like,
yeah,
if no one else is working, why not us too?
Yeah, well, we made that decision a couple of years ago where most people were taking off that time, and we just said, you know what, what's the point? And
the week between Christmas and New Year's.
Yeah, and stressing about that, it doesn't, yeah, it's more money, some lost productivity for us, but honestly, it doesn't really bother me all that much. Most people aren't going to be setting strategic meetings and things like that during that time. And so we'll get our work done before and after, and everyone will get an extra week off during the year. And it's a lot less stress for everybody and just more freeing. We just continue to play in that game of better work-life balance for all of our employees. And that's just such a critical thing with everyone at my company and just the philosophy that I have. And so I know that everybody's going to get their work done, no matter what. They may have to work a little harder leading up to Christmas or maybe afterwards, but they'll have some nice time off with their families they don't have to worry about.
There you go. Yeah. Clifton Alexander, Reactor Design Studios. So today's show, we had a brainstorm a couple weeks ago, and we decided that Clifton and I meet every 3 or 4 months to talk about potential show ideas and guests. We lined out a bunch of guests for the next few months, but on today's show, we decided to just kind of keep it to us. Clifton, you are a tech guy and you, seem to be in the know about most things going on in the tech world. Is that the new iPhone I see, or is it not yet?
No, okay. It's in the mail. I'm going to get it on Friday. I know. My new phone arrives this week. So,
okay. Well, we'll have to have that in the studio next time because I'm deciding if I need an upgrade.
Yeah.
But, today's show, we decided to talk about, some things that you cannot live without in life, from a app lifestyle, business perspective. So we'll break it out into personal apps, business apps, and maybe some lifestyle stuff too.
Just some random interesting things that don't really have a lot to do with anything except they're just really cool.
Right. So. And this is something that we kind of talk about from time to time because you have a lot of things on your phone. I can already tell, and on your computer that you carry around. And I thought, like, you know what? As someone who uses kind of the same apps all the time, it's going to be good for our listeners to kind of hear about some things that maybe are really good in your daily life from a personal and business perspective, and really talk about how they're important and the ways they've changed the way you live and you work.
Yeah, you bet. I'm just a big believer in technology and embracing what's coming. I'm not there's a few things where I just say, okay, maybe we should wait till the next round or iteration of something until it gets better. But typically I'm a first adopter type, you know, when the new phones come out, I get the new phone, I embrace the technology. I'm going to figure out all this, facial recognition stuff pretty soon here. I've already received a couple of, animated emojis from the new iPhone from a couple of friends.
Ready to
rock and roll on that. It's one of those funny things where, you know, you could put all the tech in the world into something so incredibly high tech as the new iPhone X, but most people will just have so much fun with the animated emojis because of it, and that'll become the rallying cry.
Snapchat,
you know?
Has grown.
Yeah, right. Because
but people laugh at that, but
that's
like
right.
The Silicon Valley show on Showtime or HBO, I don't remember which one it is. I think it's HBO. Maybe it is Showtime. I don't know. But they had an episode where he was talking about his business and all of his work he'd done. And then they had like a guy in a room just putting monkey faces on himself.
Right.
And he's like, this is the next big thing.
Yep.
This is going to change people's lives.
I know. That's what it comes down to. You know, people love to have fun, I think. And maybe that's what it all boils down to is all of this technology. Sometimes it can just make things more interesting and fun, and that's okay. You know what I mean? Like, does it warrant $1,000 to purchase the phone? Probably not. But all of the other things the phone does, those are incredibly important, and those are worth $1,000. The animojis, those are fun, interesting things that just make our life better, right? And they make things more interesting for us. As humans, we love emotion, we love laughter, all those sorts of things, and these are the types of things that help that.
So on today's show, we're going to talk to Clifton about apps he cannot do without in his personal and business life, and some things that can make your life easier and change the way you work and live, and make your life more fun and more efficient and productive as well. You're listening to the Grill Nation Show. I'm your host, Jason Grill, KMBZ 980 AM and on iTunes and Stitcher. I appreciate you joining us today. We'll be right back. Come on to me, come on to me.
power, bigger, better, stronger power.
Welcome back to Grill Nation with Jason Grill here on 980 AM KMBZ and on podcast via iTunes and Stitcher, as well as at grillnationshow.com, where you can find all of our guests, shows, photos of our guests, and more information about what we do here each and every week with thought leaders throughout the region and nation here on the Grill Nation Show. Connect with me on Twitter at Jason Grill and at Grill Nation Show, as well as on other social medias at just search for Jason Grill or Grill Nation Show. We're talking to a partner and supporter of the Grill Nation Show, monthly guest and thought leader when it comes to branding, marketing, technology, you name it. Clifton Alexander's here with me in studio. ReactorKC.com is the website if you need to talk to someone about anything revolving around marketing, branding, or website development. Clifton is with us today because we wanted to talk about apps, which we never do on the show.
Right.
We never really kind of break down some things that are exciting that can help you in your daily life. We usually profile guests and thought leaders and cool things going on in Kansas City and across the region. But we thought it'd be cool today to just kind of break down some up-and-coming things that people use in their daily lives. Clifton will highlight them, and hopefully you'll draw one from the show and say, you know what, I'm going to grab that app and I'm gonna learn and I'm gonna change my daily life a little bit for the better. So
hopefully,
Clifton, I got an email from you about 1:30 in the morning last night with the list. So we'll see how this goes.
I'm always working, right? I was probably half falling asleep as I was typing that up.
Okay, so
I wanted to backtrack just a tiny bit on that, because I think one of the reasons this is even a good topic or something that we could even spend a show talking about is that apps and app culture and the way we use our phones and our computers and everything has become so prolific in our daily lives that, I mean, I marked a few things down here that even things that you would have never thought, you know, the iPhone is about 10 years old, and that was the start of the app world in terms of micro apps and how that all worked. It was about 9 years ago. And now to this day, 9-10 years later, not that long if you think about it in the history of technology and innovation, we have apps for literally everything, right?
Yep.
So like my school that my kids go to, they have an app. We can look up everything related to what piece of homework is due tomorrow, to the school calendar, to information on how to get in touch with other parents and things like that.
So that is useful.
It's very useful.
Okay.
My church has an app, right? Where you can donate, you can look at calendar, you can do all the same type of stuff. Mm-hmm. Even my freaking sprinkler system that I use at home has an app. So I can hook up my sprinklers to the box on my house, and it connects via Wi-Fi to my house system. And then from my phone right here, I could turn on my sprinkler right now.
That's amazing.
And that is gets to that point where the interfaces on these devices, like the sprinkler box, are very complicated. But when you remove it from that and you put it onto a full screen with an app, I can set up my sprinkler zones, the individual watering times, all that stuff. I can do it in a fraction of the time in a much more clear learning environment on the screen via an app than ever doing it on the actual box that's sitting on the side of my house for that stuff. And so it's just one of those natural progressions of how things have become more technologically focused. And you could say, well, that seems really ridiculous to have an app just for your sprinklers. But honestly, that's the reason I'm able to use my sprinklers as much as I'm able to, because it's such a pain to set the box. I can do it so much easier on here. I can test it. I can do whatever I need to do. I can cancel it if it starts raining. It'll check weather patterns. It'll do all those sorts of things for me. But that the point being is not about the app for the sprinkler, but more just about how these things are becoming so prolific that this is one of the reasons why we can even have a show like this, which I think is pretty interesting.
My question for you is every day I have to update like 27 apps or 30 apps.
Yeah.
How is that possible?
Do you do the auto updating, or do you do it on your own individually?
I just
manually?
Get the red dots above the app store.
Yeah.
And there's like, it says like 62.
I think what it is just there's so many things going on behind the scenes with all the apps, especially the bigger apps, the ones that are more, that have teams of developers working on them and things like that. They're constantly making tweaks. And I think that's one of the interesting things about this type of system versus the old system where you had a CD or a disc that you would put in your computer and you would run the update, and then a year later it would update again, right? They're allowed to, or it's allowing us and allowing the developers to do real-time updates to things. If somebody is having an issue or if there's a bug in the app, they can just fix it and push out a new version tomorrow. And that's one of the things that's so much different than how it was in the past, where everything is just connected and we can constantly do that. So that's why you get those update notifications all the time.
I thought it was for developers and security purposes too. Right?
Well, yeah, those security breaches, hackers, all those kinds of things, right? But it's pretty interesting to pop open your app one day for whatever it is, and then all of a sudden the interface looks different because overnight it updated itself or whatever, and you're just constantly tweaking and changing things. But developers have the ability to do that, and so we can keep up pretty real time with the technology, with what's happening in security and functionality and user interface and all that kind of stuff, and they can tweak and change on the fly, which is pretty cool.
It is cool. Talk to me more about some of your favorite apps for personal and why you use them each and every day. I really appreciate the school, because you always wonder about, is this ever going to end? You know, because a couple years ago, I officed with about 5 or 6 at this point, but a mobile app design company. Mm-hmm. And I was there, it was right when nobody was making apps in Kansas City, and it just blew up.
Yeah.
But then I started thinking to myself, is this going to hit a mass point where everyone's like,
yeah, I don't know.
It's because some people now are burning back to, I don't want to check the app.
Yeah.
I will go online, or I will, you know, it's weird. It's like, is it, how much room does it have to grow still before we get to your list?
Well, we already have apps controlling our sprinklers and our washer and dryer and all that stuff, right? Like, maybe we have hit the peak. Right? Like, what else could you possibly
have? Well, that's different.
I'm
talking about too, like, you know, this, people are like, let's say you said your school or your church.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, does everyone have those now, or is it just something that still has room to grow?
Here's what I'll say. I feel like we may not have room to grow in terms of what things can be connected to apps. I think there's a tremendous amount of growth possibility in how we interact with the apps, mm-hmm. and what types of services and things are provided through those apps. Does that make sense? So, mm-hmm. yes, my school has an app. Yes, my church has an app. Yes, my sprinkler system has an app, right? But there's a long way to go for what types of functionality I can add to those things.
But for retail purchases, those haven't really taken off. Maybe they have.
On
like
app-based,
if I want to go to Target and their website, I can buy, or Amazon.
Yeah.
Is there an Amazon app?
There is an Amazon app, and I use it from time to time. I feel like sometimes the website's a little bit easier, but
that's my point.
But here's the reason to do it, though, for Amazon. The reason to do it via app is we have our phones, or we tend to have our phones with us 100% of the time. Mm-hmm. We're not always in front of our computer, in front of a web browser.
Right.
And so if I am sitting down at my desk, and maybe I'm in a meeting, or maybe I'm sitting in front of the TV and I'm doing whatever, if something pops into my brain and says, you know, I got to order that toy for my baby because he's teething, it's a lot easier for me to just pull up my Amazon app on my phone, because I'm already sitting there. I have my phone in my pocket, TV's on, and I can just do a quick search for teethers for babies, and I can say, oh, this one looks good. Click, send, done. Two days later.
So I guess maybe this has now come full circle.
Yeah.
Because websites are mobile optimized now.
Correct.
So every retail site has, if they're worth their salt, has a mobile optimized website.
So the difference between the app versus the website then, on that note, is, I could also go to the Amazon website via my phone. Mm-hmm. The difference for, this is more for Amazon than it is for me, the difference is through the web app, they can actually push notifications back to me, as opposed to me only being able to interact with it one way.
Okay.
So if I'm interacting with the website, an Amazon website, it can't respond back to me. But if I have the Amazon app loaded on my phone, Amazon can send me a notification saying your item has shipped, and it pops up on my phone, or whatever the notification is. It can remind me of coupons or Black Friday's coming up or those sorts of things. And that's one of the reasons why retailers will have an app aside from just their mobile website, is because of those types of things. It's a little more interactive. Now, those things become a little bit more intrusive to us. And so we just have to kind of decide what's better for us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of on the fence on which way is better or not via app or mobile website. I feel like apps sometimes respond a little quicker, things like that. But ultimately, they're all pinging from the same place, from the same data stream. So I don't know.
I wanted to take us through that journey there before we get to your list, because I think it is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
As phones continue to get better and better, and mobile gets better and better.
But even just thinking about like what I said earlier, is the opportunity is not in new apps being created. The opportunity is higher levels of functionality and better interaction with the user.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, my school has the app and I can find information points, but my school hasn't fully embraced this ability to connect back with me or provide additional levels of service. If we're having a board meeting, they could stream the board meeting live only to school association members via the app if you're logged in a certain way or something like that. Like, those are additional things that could happen where maybe we could do voting that way. If I can't make the school board meeting and I have to vote, but I can watch it live on my phone as a registered association member, then I can click the vote button or something like that. We can't do that yet, but I'm just saying there's possibilities for things like that where we can continue to interact at a deeper level and grow those sorts of presences like that.
Fascinating stuff with Clifton Alexander today, Reactor Design Studios, ReactorKC.com. We use that whole segment to kind of talk about app philosophy and mobile. But in our next segment, Clifton, I want to really break down apps that you should be using in your personal life and your business. You're listening to Grill Nation. Thanks for joining us. We'll be right back.
I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops.
And welcome back to Grill Nation with Jason Grill. I'm your host, Jason Grill. I appreciate you joining us again today on 980 AM KMBZ. And for those listening on the web, I appreciate you joining us as well as those listening on iTunes or Stitcher Radio today. We're talking to Clifton Alexander, Reactor Design Studios. The website is ReactorKC.com. And Clifton is a reoccurring monthly guest on the show, usually brings a really cool guest with him, co-host. He co-hosts with me. But today we're talking to him about apps, exclusively, and things that can help you in your daily life. Clifton, I want to talk about lifestyle and home apps that you use and highlight those for our listeners. Let's start off with Sleep Cycle.
Yeah. So, have you ever used a sleep app of any kind, or have you ever had anything connected to your watch?
I'm pretty much boring. I've had that once. I think I did that one night with my Garmin or whatever.
Fitbit. The Fitbits used to do those kind of things. I've never had a Fitbit, but, I downloaded this app a little less than a year ago. It's called Sleep Cycle. And the whole point of it is you set this app as your alarm to wake up in the morning. So it has a couple different functionalities. One is you set the alarm and say you set it for 6:30 in the morning. What it will do is the alarm will actually go off sometime between 6 o'clock and 6:30. There's about a half an hour window of time where the alarm will go off. And what it's doing is it's monitoring your wakefulness, I suppose. And if it senses that you're more awake already at around 6:15, the alarm will just go off at 6:15 instead of waiting until 6:30.
Oh, really?
And so the idea is that as you're in these cycles of sleep, there are times when you're a little more awake, when you're not really quite as in a deep sleep, and it'll try to gently wake you up when you're less of a deep sleep, right? With the maximum of saying, if you're just in a dead deep sleep all the way until 6:30 a.m., it'll just go off at 6:30. But sometimes my alarm goes off half an hour before I set it, and then I snooze it a couple times. But it's interesting, and I don't know. I haven't figured out a correlation in the end of the day if I wake up more wakeful or things like that. I'm not really sure about all that kind of thing. But aside from that type of data and that type of wakefulness, what it does is my phone sits right next to my bed and it monitors my breathing overnight. And then it tells me when I wake up in the morning. So this morning I woke up, tells me how long I was in bed. So 1:13 a.m. to 6:41 a.m. That was how long I was in bed. My sleep quality last night was 65%.
Okay.
So 100% is good. Time in bed.
He was so excited about taping the show today.
I know. It talks about how, it tells me how long I spent in the evening snoring. So if I was snoring last night, it'll tell me how long. And then it has little clips that you can click on that'll have little sound bites of your actual snoring. So you can monitor that if you really want to, which is fascinating to me because I think it's like last night was much less than normal. So what was it that, you know, you could ultimately, the idea is you're building a set of data that you can use to alter your sleep habits to try to get better, higher percentage sleep habits, right?
Interesting.
Get more and better sleep. So it tells me if it was cloudy or sunny. It tells me if it was raining. It tells me how much activity I had that day, and all of that sort of stuff. So what it's doing is it's, like I said, it's building this data stream and it's looking for trends. So if I look on my trends over the last week, it tells which times I woke up. It'll tell me things like, if my sleep quality has increased or decreased based on the days that I've worked out versus days that I haven't worked out. It'll tell me sleep quality affected by the weather. And so it's building this entire pattern of data that it's now starting to mine, and it's putting these graphs out there to tell me these things.
So give us some feedback real quick. We got to get going to our next app, but what are its takeaways? Do you get more sleep when you work out or what?
Well, I do get more sleep.
My app in my brain tells
activity.
Me.
So workout, it'll say, sometimes it'll say, lower sleep quality that day, but overall my sleep quality affected by activity, number of steps a day, is higher. It's up to almost 20% higher if I've had a day of 10,000 steps or 15,000 steps or worked out, versus some other things. Days of the week, it'll tell me Friday is my best sleep quality day. And that's just because I go to bed super early on Fridays because I'm dead from the week, right? But what I find the most useful, some of that stuff isn't super useful. It's just interesting. Mm-hmm. But what I find most useful about it is that every morning when I wake up, I'm looking at the statistics of how long I slept. And I'm constantly trying to improve that. And I look at my numbers and I say, okay, I was only in bed for 5.5 hours like that last night. That's not enough. And so the next day I try to improve that by a little bit. So it just gives me these little subtle cues to try to improve my sleep quality. And so I'm in it for about 250 days or so on here. At the end of the year, I'll start to evaluate that and really look at those numbers and see if there's different things I can figure out. But
yeah. Cool.
So it's just more interesting than anything else.
Sleep cycle. Great lifestyle app. What are some other ones you have?
I have kids that play a lot of sports. And so I have some different scoreboard type of apps. I'm always keeping, if my son is playing baseball, I'm always keeping score on my watch because I don't trust what's on the scoreboard because it's usually like a parent running the scoreboard or whatever. Or some of the places
drinking,
we play.
They've been drinking whiskey.
Yeah, right. Some of the places we play, they don't have a scoreboard. And so I know that the coaches are keeping score and whatnot, but it just allows me to keep score just so I can keep an accurate count of what's going on.
Super,
so I use my Apple Watch.
Super dad.
Yeah. I use my Apple Watch for that. So I have a couple apps that sync directly to my watch and I just use the watch. And when a run scores, there's an out, I can do that. Scoreboard is the one I use for that. Weather. Okay. So are you a weather nerd? Like, do you track weather that much or do you not care?
I use the Apple app.
You use Apple. Okay.
So it changes all the time.
So I'm really weird about the weather. Maybe it's because I'm from California where the weather is pretty constant all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But around here, especially in the winter time, one of my absolute favorite things to do is to look for and try to find out when it's going to snow. Cause I want to know as soon as possible, like weeks in advance, if I can, when the next chances
just
are for snow.
When you're in the media industry, you just text the meteorologist. I text Michelle Bogwith at Fox 4. And
she's like, hey, is it going to snow?
Mike Thompson, I say, okay, when's it going to snow? And they usually tell me.
So that's a good point for you, right? I don't have that capability. I can't just text Gary Lezak and say when it's going to snow. But I will say this. This is not an app, but 41 Action Weather, Gary Lezak, they have an incredible blog that almost every day they make a post, and it's a very long threaded, written out post with images and graphs and charts and measurements and wind speed and all that kind of stuff.
You're geeking
right?
out about that, aren't you?
And it goes really, really deep into what's happening with the weather currently and what's going to happen. When you watch the weather on TV or you look at the weather forecast on your app, all you see is percentage chance of precipitation, what the temperature is. That's about all you get, even online or even on the show. But this weather blog that they have is incredible. And if it's going to snow a week from now, I will go onto that 3 times a day and I'll look for updates and I'll read because it just gets really in depth, like super in depth on, on every little thing that's happening in the atmosphere and what the chances are. And a lot of times it will tell you a lot more information before it ever hits the app or whatever, or even the newscast. And so I love that. So it's not an app in itself, but what I do is I've had a bookmark to that website booked, and you can create a home, but you can create a button like a, so it looks like an app. So I go onto my phone and I click that button for the 41 News Blog app. And what it does is it just opens up a link in my Safari browser to that thing.
Cool.
So there's stuff like that that you can do with it. I just love that. I don't know. It's super detailed. I like to get into that when it's about to snow. Do you go to sports events a lot?
I do. Yes.
Okay. Have you ever used StubHub?
I have. Yes.
Okay.
I sell on StubHub. I bought tickets on there.
Okay. So I'm a big user of StubHub, SeatGeek, GameTime. I have a whole system that I work out. If I'm going to a sporting event or anything like that, I almost always buy my tickets through one of these brokers. Usually because it's like last minute or something. I don't know why, but
tell me your system.
So I have a system because I'm a big, big believer in finding the right seat, the exact right seat. So a StubHub, you can look on there and it'll say you're going to be in row 12, seat 11, whatever, section 205. I have no idea where that really is. I can look at section 205 on the map that the Royals or the sporting people get you, but I can't tell exactly where that seat is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so SeatGeek has a map of every stadium and arena, and it'll show you the exact seat location. So I go into SeatGeek, and I look at the exact seat location, and I see what tickets they have for sale. If they don't have something for sale that I like, I'll go over to StubHub. I'll look at the seat, and I'll say, that seems like a really good seat. But let me go over to SeatGeek and find out exactly where it is. Is it on the aisle? Is it in the middle of a row of 30? Is it, you know, wherever it is, right? How close is it to the field? If it says it's row C, that doesn't mean that it's three rows back from the field. That could mean it's the first row, right? Because some of the way they,
some of the Royals
seatings
are like
that, where they tier things back. And if there's a little cut in how the field goes, row C in some areas might be the first row.
Yeah.
And I want to know that. And you can't tell that by just looking at the seat number.
That's right.
So I go in, and so I use a combination of all those apps to look for
what's
the best
tickets.
What's
GameTime do?
And so GameTime is just another version of that. It's a little more of a last minute type of thing. They tend to have a lot of the same seats as SeatGeek does. StubHub has different ones.
I usually list my tickets on StubHub.
Yeah. And StubHub's the biggest one. It has the most,
your
seats on it, has the most viewers, but I like to go to these other ones because occasionally I can find a seat that somebody hasn't listed on StubHub that's a better price. So I look at a combination of price to where exactly the seat is. So when I buy it, even from StubHub, I know the exact location of my seat because I want to find, it's all a game for me, right? It's, can I find the best seat in the entire stadium for a better price than anybody else is paying?
Right.
And that's how I do, and I do a combination of things. I probably spend way too long doing all that stuff.
Well, because
but I always
have so
awesome
quick,
seats.
But if you do find it, you got to buy it quick.
You do. But I always have really awesome seats at great prices to anything. Playoff
we're gonna
games,
have,
all that kind of stuff.
We're going to have to talk more about that off air because I need to get your system in my queue here because I need to keep
I do
on,
that same thing with
that.
Travel.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that in the next segment. We're talking to Cliff and Alexander. In the next segment, we're going to lay out some more awesome apps that he uses in personal life and in business. We'll get into some travel apps and some apps and platforms he uses every day in his business. You're listening to Grill Nation on 980 AM KMBZ. Welcome back to Grill Nation with Jason Grill, 980 AM KMBZ. Talking to Cliff and Alexander on our final segment. This show has gone fast. He's with Reactor Design Studios, a monthly contributor to the Grill Nation show. His website is reactorkc.com for all of your branding, marketing, and technology needs. Clifton, we're talking about apps today. We breezed through some. Let's talk about some travel apps. You told us about your systems. Tell us about those. I'd like to know more about that.
Yeah, so one of my biggest things with travel is booking hotels and trying to get a really good deal on a hotel, right? And so have you ever used Priceline or Hotwire to book a hotel?
Yeah,
everybody has done that. But I have this whole thing where I try to get again, same thing at the seats. I try to get the best deal possible and the best location and the best whatever, right? And I'll spend like an hour just going through all the scenarios.
Your
and
wife maybe I'll must save love five you or that ten you do bucks. All this stuff,
I think she appreciates it. I hope she does.
Because a lot of women, their wives actually do a lot of this planning for
I'm all over this kind of stuff. You're all over it.
So she just walks in and she gets a great deal.
Yep.
Look at that.
Yep. So great I use this crazy combination of the all the travel sites plus Priceline plus Hotwire plus whatever. So one of the things I do every time with hotels is I'll go into Hotwire. You can usually find the best price on a hotel if you're just going for star rating and general location.
Mm-hmm.
Hotwire is a great place to start, but I'll start on Hotwire and it might say 3-star hotel, $140 a night. Then I'll go into Priceline and I'll go into the name your own price thing and I'll select the same location and I'll select 3-star and I'll put in a name your own price for like $115. And about 5 out of 10 times it'll ping and it'll work. And so what ends up happening is you never know if it's really the same hotel because they don't tell you what the hotel is until after you've booked it. Mm-hmm. But most of the time, I'm pretty sure it's probably the same hotel or it's very similar enough, right? To where if my lowest price on Hotwire was $140, but I can name my own price for the same location, same star rating at Priceline and get it for $115 or $120, I've just saved $20 a night and I probably ended up with the same hotel anyways. And those usually work the best for really last minute kind of,
And a lot of people just don't want to book a hotel they don't know the name of.
Right. And they don't, so but you know what? It's a little bit of a risk, but man, I've used Priceline and Hotwire so many times and I have never, ever had a bad situation. And the reason is that all of those hotels are rated by the people that stay there. And if I'm on Hotwire and it says 50% rating, I am not going to book that hotel no matter what the price is because I know it has terrible customer service or whatever. So I always find the ones that are 80%, 90%, 100% because you know that if there's 500 people that have stayed there and 90% of them rate it 5-star, like seriously, what could go wrong, right?
Yeah,
maybe you'd have a bad experience, but you're going
to
be like
you have a better shot not to.
So you have used
the Hotwire Priceline technique.
Yeah.
You talk about Lyft, Uber, Airbnb, and road trips. What are those apps?
Okay, road trip. So we know about Lyft and Uber. I tend to prefer Lyft just because I don't know. Maybe I'm just trying to be anti Uber or something, but trying to give somebody else a shot. Right? Uber has become the word that you use to call a car. So I like to give Lyft a chance just to give somebody else a chance in the game. So I like that. But the other one was
Airbnb.
I've used that a lot lately. Family trips, personal trips, that sort of thing. Have you used the Airbnb?
Yes, I have. I used that in Venice Beach.
Yeah.
Great place.
I stayed in a guy's house once. That was kind of interesting. I don't prefer that as much, as the having your own house or apartment to yourself. So I tend to only search for those.
I don't think anyone would.
Yeah. Yeah.
My friend actually has a great story about this. His wife booked his Airbnb. She was cutting corners and he woke up in the morning. He had no idea there was someone else in the house. And he went out to get breakfast and there was a family serving. And he was like, what the heck is going on right now?
Didn't know.
And he texts our group text feed and he's like, holy crap. It's 7:30 and there's kids running around in his house. What's going on?
Yeah. So if you're not aware of what's going on, you can be in a situation, but it's not all bad. And again, you look at reviews, right? And you look at if the host has 100 reviews and they're all 5-star, you know that you're going to have a good experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if the host has no reviews or they have bad reviews, you probably shouldn't book that. And so that's what I always go on is looking at the reviews and things like that. But I have this app called Road Trip. It's actually developed originally by a company locally and a person that I know, and it lists out in map form or in list form literally every single amazingly cool, weird, funky thing in this country. This country, ultimately, way back in the day, was built on this Route 66, the road trip, the whole deal, and they had the largest ball of twine and the giant cowboy sign and the national monuments and all this stuff, and this app has started to catalog all of that stuff. Interesting architecture, crazy weird places to eat, weird national monuments, things like largest ball, whatever, all that kind of three-headed cow, all that kind of stuff. But I have used that app every time I go on a road trip or every time I'm traveling somewhere. If I'm just in California with my family or my work associates, we will use that app and look up around us what is interesting to do around here that's off the beaten path, that's not in your typical guidebooks, that's all that kind of stuff. And I absolutely love that app. I use it all the freaking time. And I love that I know the people that developed it, and they're really into those types of
road
things.
Trip.
The folk art and the Americana and all that kind of stuff. The unfortunate thing about it is I don't know if I can recommend it right now because it's not updated for iOS 11. So if I try to pull it up on my phone right now, it will not actually pull up because it's a legacy app. So I need to get in touch with them and have them try to figure out if they're going to redo it, because I absolutely love that kind of thing. Weird roadside attractions, you know, all that kind of funny stuff. So.
We'll check that out. Road trip. Check it out.
Got to check out Road Trip.
And mapping. Waze, obviously, you love.
Yeah. So use Waze a lot. I even use it sometimes to get home at night because, you know, it takes you around the traffic jams and stuff. It's fantastic for LA.
We got a couple more minutes here left in the show. Let's talk about some business.
We didn't even get to that. I mean, we're just rolling right now.
I mean, yeah.
So Evernote, we use Evernote a lot. It's cross platform. I'm looking at my notes right now on Evernote. I use it all the time for creating notes for the show, for all kinds of things. It's right there.
Very creative.
Looking at it. And it syncs to my phone and my iPad and everything, so I can always have those notes. I keep recipes in there for certain things. I keep all of my notes for things, a few client notes in there. We use Slack a lot inside of our office. Slack is not a new app by any means. It's not something that nobody's ever heard of. But we started using Slack maybe a year or two ago, and it has almost completely eliminated interoffice email. And so it acts essentially like a platform where you can chat back and forth with all of your coworkers, either via groups or direct private messages or all those sorts of things within that app platform. Works on your desktop or your mobile app. And we absolutely love that app. We use it probably 1,000 messages a day, fly around in our office through Slack. So that's a really good productivity one. I have a to-do list app called Clear. I use.
Okay.
And it is called Clear because it is dead simple. I mean, it's simple. I mean, it is just beautiful looking. It's super simple. The interface is very gestural and easy and simple to use. And that's why I like it. It doesn't have a lot of fluff. It doesn't have calendars and due dates and all that. It's literally, you just list out your stuff, and in a really simple way, you can remove or add or check off or whatever, and you're done. It's just super simple. It's called Clear. So I really like that one.
And I use a pen and paper for that.
And use a pen. And you know what? I use both, right? I also use a pen and paper for certain things. I use email to send myself notes or whatever.
Yeah, right.
But I always have this running list on Clear of just things I need to get done.
Clifton Alexander has been our guest. And a couple of the things you can't live without, which we'll talk about on a future show, are your GoPro. Yep. Long lens camera for specific stuff. It's all PG rated, I assume.
Yeah.
And workout shirts. You want 100% polyester.
Always. No cotton, man. No sweating in your cotton shirts. That's ridiculous.
No sweat in your cotton shirts. And business cards. Things you always have to have business cards. Clifton Alexander, Reactor Design Studios. Great show. Thanks for all the information you put together today on apps that we should be using, both in personal and in our business lives. Appreciate it. We'll see you again soon, buddy.
Thanks.
You've been listening to Grill Nation. We'll see you again next week. Take care. Have a good one. Standing in the Hall of Fame. Yeah.
And the world's gonna know your name. Yeah. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.